All right. Well, Hart is our guest. We'll be back with him as we talk about some of these ancient mysteries. I really want to get into this mirror that they found a long time ago and see what he thinks it might have been used for. Back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, Will, let's talk about this mirror again and tell me a little bit about how it was found and the
It was
shape of
found,
this thing.
yeah, it was found at the Olmec sites, which are unfortunately they're in the oil-producing region of Mexico. Most of them have been dismantled, but they were found at La Venta, which is one of the major sites.
Were there many?
Yeah, they found I don't know how many they found, but they found more than one.
And you think they had supernatural properties?
I think they used them that way.
Ah.
What I'm suggesting about the Atlantean technology that was then carried to Mexico and carried to North America, South America, Egypt, so on, is that unlike our technology, it wasn't material based. It was much more a psi technology.
That's
They were
interesting,
more
yeah.
interested in amplifying. It kind of came down through the shamanic traditions. You know, about shape shifting and all that stuff,
Sure.
and astral projection, and all what we. A lot of those are metaphors, though, for time travel, and not just time travel, but what remote viewing.
Well, you know, if you could travel, let's say, to other planets, through your mind, let's say, or your conscious mind, subconscious mind, why do you need all the machinery to do it? What a wonderful way to
Yeah, you know.
travel. And it's safe, it's fast, it's sufficient.
Right.
I'd love to do that.
I'm sure they did do it.
And I bet
That's
they also
my
learned how to communicate as well.
exactly. They could communicate around the planet.
Yep.
They used crystals as well. I mean, we use crystals in the same way for radio transmission. Different. The crystals are very good at absorbing and then transmitting energy. So. They have technology that's used it very differently. So we don't, their technology to us is just invisible. It makes no sense. When we look at the pyramid, it looks like the static object, but it wasn't used that way. But we're starting to piece together. What I'm suggesting is we're starting to piece it back together because people have realized that these alignments, that they're a planet, they're not only aligned, geographically, but they're also, were aligned to the magnetic pole, to planetary positions, specific planetary
And
positions.
they all were.
Yeah, they all were.
That to me is the most amazing part of all of this, that this design was done intentionally, but they knew exactly where they were going to put these structures if for a specific reason. Now here's the question. Did they put them on those special latitudes and longitudes in order to be easier to build them, or was there a reason to do it?
No, there was a reason to do it, to
Okay.
take advantage of the magnetic, the different energies they were doing. See, they were like amplifiers. They're like magnifying the energy.
The pyramids are?
Yes.
Okay.
And at those specific points, putting the pyramids there, and then there are also solar and planetary positions that affected the energy at specific dates. So they would have ceremonies then.
And you believe they use this energy for this traveling and things like that? You know, because nowadays when you hear the word energy, you
Yeah.
think of heating your home.
Yeah, I use energy in the broadest sense that everything is energy. There are different frequencies of energy, like the sun, the planets, water, whatever. It's all different forms of energy.
Are there any regions of this planet that you think might have been more advanced than others, not counting Atlantis?
I'd say it went from Atlantis. Atlantis was the incubating civilization. Then, Egypt, Sumeria. Sumeria was very advanced. Egypt in a different way. The Indus Valley was advanced. And then the Mexico and South America, Peru and Bolivia were advanced. And this brings up another point that we sort of touched on earlier. when we really look at human history, it's very disjointed, because you have these civilizations advanced in certain regions right alongside very primitive tribes that even remained primitive up until this last century, which is very difficult to explain in evolutionary terms. It can't be explained.
Well, that's true.
The human race should have advanced just the same. If Darwin was right, and if all these scientific theories they have now are correct. But it looks like, and this is just conjecture, that the pyramids, they must have also generated a certain kind of energy that affected people in that region.
And what do you mean by affected them?
Changed their consciousness. And it had no effect past that. In other words, if you were in Peru or Bolivia and you were near Tiahuanaco, you were affected in that region, but if you were outside of it in the Amazon, no effect.
No effect at all.
If you were in Egypt,
so
it
you
affected
needed,
you, but if you were in sub-Sahara Africa, no effect.
So you needed to be close by these pyramids.
Right.
Maybe they had some kind of resonance.
Yes.
That, you know, they toned or something, and people... like you say, if you were near that or heard it, something happened.
You were affected, and then, of course, you know, being exposed to those to the advanced technology, you were affected by that. It was kind of a total educational process. And then these are also the areas, you know, where agriculture was developed.
Now, how did you set out to try to prove this?
Just by gathering information, by studying, you know, for decades, studying, and thinking it through logically, and just looking at the patterns. Do the conventional theories really add up and make sense? And they don't.
What shocked you the most? The fact that most of them are in the same degree lines?
That kept pulling me along back to it, back to the reason this 30th parallel is so important. And then I realized the geology of it. We not only find, you know, the rivers emptying into these seas and gulfs, we also find along the 30th parallel, this is where oil, the major oil reserves are located in Saudi Arabia and in that whole area, and in Iraq and in Texas and Louisiana. And that too, you know, I thought, well, what is going on with this? It has something to do with the energy of the planet, with this whole system that we're in. And of course, we're looking at something so vast, it's very difficult to get your mind around it.
Do you think there might be a connection with Mars somehow?
There's certainly a connection, and we're still, I think, in a very preliminary state as to what it is. It's obvious that Mars had water at one point. It seems obvious to me that it had some form of life and probably still does. It may be subterranean, maybe microbial. But I don't think we should be surprised if civilization existed there.
If I'm not too mistaken, I think the face in Cydonia might be very close to the same degrees as most of these pyramids on our planet might be lying on.
Right, that would make sense. I think the spot is at 19.5. I think most of the features on different planets and even the sunspots happen around that same latitude. Because that's just the nature of these spheres and the energy, you know, inside of them.
So they weren't put there at these specific spots to send us a message. You think there's a
the
reason?
The message is on our planet. We don't even have to go off of it. It was
right.
Left right here.
But there's a reason they put them at 19.5.
In Mexico, yes, and there are. There's a site in Egypt at that same latitude, and then it's just, it's hard to pinpoint and for us to articulate this technology, because kind of what we're doing is pointing out all of these facts, which, you know, you put together and try to then conjecture, okay, what are the logical uses for this? Right. What would a pyramid have been used for?
Well, yeah, let's look at all the possibilities. One is a tomb, right? Let's take the obvious. No, just take the obvious.
Exactly.
Could have been a tomb. Could have been some nice piece of architecture.
Right.
Could have been some kind of a celestial thing. Some people say that it's lined up with the belt of Orion, which it still may be, but that doesn't negate the fact that it could have been used for other things. A power source.
Yes.
And which I think is very similar to your theory.
Right. Well,
a landing identification marker.
Yeah. Yeah. There's sure a lot of them all over.
Right.
I guess the logic of it to me is that it should serve some pragmatic function. And I think a higher intelligence would make as many purposes, embed as many purposes in it as possible, which when you look at the pyramid, it has architecture in it, it has engineering in it. And at one point, it looks like it had some kind of either energy-producing function. I think it could have even been used by things I've read in the not the Book of the Dead. I can't think of it right now. I think it could have been used to regenerate.
Well, you know, it's interesting because Richard Hoagland sent me a note and he says Cydonia was placed at 120 degrees around Mars from Olympus Mons. And Olympus Mons is 19.5.
Exactly.
So, I mean, what are the odds of this happening?
Yeah, they're astronomical. So on our planet, the reflection of it is the Great Pyramid at, 120 degrees.
Which tells me, though, that whoever may have built structures on Mars constructed the same kinds of things here, and they use the same degrees.
Because they're showing that there's, in the spherical, in the geometry, there are energy patterns inherent in it. So on our planet, then that's why I was saying that's where hurricanes, that's where they form. So this early civilization already knew that. And I think this is what starts to really boggle the mind is, then where do we fit into this? And what role did we humans actually play in this drama? Although,
if anything.
Yes, exactly. And I think we were, at that point, probably just very passive, students, because it would have been just entirely shocking, mind-numbing for people to have contact. Of course, we have, through Egypt, through all of the civilizations, say that they did have contact with higher beings, so they call gods.
Well, I was going to say that if these entities came down to this planet, the humans at the time would have thought of them as gods.
Absolutely. There's just nothing else they could, no other way they could conceive of it. And when we look at Sumeria, when we look at Egypt, they talk about the king lists, the history going back tens of thousands of years, and they were ruled over by the gods before the gods turned over the reins to the human pharaohs.
Well, Will, you know, we should, as a world, should learn how to harness this energy.
Yeah, we're on a different path now. You know, it's almost as if we had to take from what we gathered from what was left behind for us to study, we took our own course, and it's a different kind of technology that we've developed. I won't say that it's got features of it, because we're using things, ELF, extremely low frequency, because that's how I think they function.
Tell me about the Basque culture.
Yeah, that's... To me, the Basques are the obvious remnant of Atlantis. They have no affiliation with other European cultures, language, genetics. The Basques have the highest incidence of Rh negative blood in the world, and Rh negative is extremely rare.
Very rare.
In fact, you could make the case that it didn't evolve on this planet because it doesn't fit. Because what Rh negative means is that it's not primate, because all the primates have Rh positive blood. I mean, that means the rhesus factor, the primate factor is there, but when you have Rh negative, it's not there. So, and most the Basques also have a very high rate of type O Rh negative. They had very low A, B, and almost no AB in the early bass, especially.
So you think there's extraterrestrial genetics here?
Well, that would have go back to Atlantis. The case that I'm trying to make is that the Basques, when they fled Atlantis, they went to Iberia and then ended up in the mountains. They have, you know, their language is completely distinct from other languages, mm-hmm. For a reason, and because they were isolated. They were from a different landmass, and they went to Europe, and then the Indo-Europeans came with their blood types are pretty close together, and also their mtDNA, the DNA that's most analyzed now, clustered together, and the Basques have a much more ancient DNA. So they just don't fit. So, and even back in the 19th century, early investigators were hypothesizing that the Basques were not related to Europeans, that if there were remnants from Atlantis, it would be them. But we have another group too, and that's the Berbers.
Tell me about them.
North Africa. Same thing. What confuses people now, the Berbers were considered by anthropologists and historians to have been a European culture who went to went down to Africa. But they've changed that now because it just doesn't work. And they realize that these are native North African peoples. Now, the thing is, they look like Arabs now because the Arabs invaded that area and took over in 700 AD.
So they're blood mixed.
Yeah, they look like Arabs, but they weren't Arabs. They were called, in fact, the Greek and Roman historians called them the Atlantoi or the Atlantes.
Oh, really?
They were considered a separate, distinct people. They were Caucasian, light-skinned. They still pop up with blonde hair and blue eyes. And But they intermarried, for over a millennia now with Arabs. But they've maintained their culture. They're just like the Basques. They're very independent. Look how the Basques have been overrun by every civilization, and the Basques fiercely retain their identity because they know they're separate. They know they're not part of those other Europeans.
If you were to interview someone who was a Basque, would they feel supernatural or have no idea?
No, I don't think so. I think they're very salt of the earth people. I know Basques because I lived in Reno, and there's a large Basque community.
Do they think they're different?
Yeah, distinct culturally. I'm not so sure. They're not going to talk about Atlantis or anything.
They probably don't even know about it.
Yeah, their culture goes way, way back, though. I mean, they go back into Europe. This is where the caves are. These are where the cave paintings are. This is where the Cro-Magnon, so-called. I don't think there's any such thing as Cro-Magnon.
Why?
Just early Basques. It was the people that left Atlantis, 35,000 years ago. And they've been in that part of Europe since then.
Why have we lost the knowledge? That's the question.
We didn't lose it. Certain interest groups in our culture, for reasons that I can't fathom, decided that, Atlantis was out because the Romans, the Greeks, on down through history, it was passed down.
So you think some groups decided to basically hide or suppress this kind of knowledge?
Yeah, they've been trying to destroy this that history and cut it out of the history books and ridicule it for over 100 years now.
What would we be able to do if we possessed the knowledge?
Well, we would know that human history, human civilization goes back much, much further than this 5,000-year timeline.
True.
That we've been given. That it's much more complex. I mean, it's the people were, mixed together and had a different type of civilization than what we have now. Very different.
All right, stay with us. We'll hard our guest on Coast to Coast AM. We'll take some of your phone calls now. We'll take a lot of them next hour as well. I'll be back in a moment with our guest, Will Hart, Mysteries on Planet Earth on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Will Hart is our guest. Will, is it possible that these visitors were not benevolent? Maybe they had different plans, or do you think they were all good?
No, I think they were good.
You do?
Yes, I do. I'm not saying that all beings in the universe are good. We know human nature.
I understand.
You know, in terms of the way I envision it is that because what we have in Sumeria is Dilmun, which was, there was this early place that wasn't where they ended up, right? Where they were tutored by the gods and so on. Well, the Egyptians say the same thing. In their earliest depiction of where they weren't in Egypt. They were in a land that was to the west of Egypt. That land was destroyed. Osiris predicted that land would be destroyed. He led the people to Egypt with the dog and then civilized Egypt. And he was the first god king in Egypt. So to me, both of these things that we have, and the Aztecs saying that their original homeland was Aztlan, and they built their capital city in Mexico in a shallow lake with canals and, a sacred precinct, pretty much as Plato describes. So we get these patterns recurring around the planet. Also, I wanted to bring up the Canary Islands and the Canary Islanders. Because I think we have, you brought up the Basques, and then we have the Berbers.
Mm-hmm.
They have very, and what I go into detail in the book is in the genetics, because the genetics strongly support the existence of some other land, and we're going to call it Atlantis, that these people originated in, because they share the same genetics. They have type O, Rh negative, and also this haplogroup, mtDNA haplogroup X, which is also found to a very small extent, and it's the only genetic link between Native Americans and Europe and North Africa. It's this X haplogroup link.
Do these people ever say that they've had strange dreams of living in past lives, maybe being in Atlantis or anything like that?
Which people?
Anyone, those from the Canary Islands, the Berbers, the Basques?
I don't know. I mean, it would be interesting to go there to get this stuff firsthand. What you get, are the histories, the oral histories handed down. Now, you got to realize when we're talking about the Berbers go as far back as the Phoenicians and further back than the Phoenicians. The Phoenicians, we're going along the coast. They like to just cruise along the coast, and they had interacted. The Berbers were the people who were on the land there in North Africa, who the Phoenicians were doing trading with. There were already hundreds of large port cities 3,000 years ago. And my conclusion is that the original Atlanteans, who the Berbers were descendants of, built those. Now we have in the Canary Islands, which is, very close to North Africa, we have pyramids. We have the only culture that mummified their dead in the Egyptian fashion. And they speak the same language as the Berbers. Now, the original inhabitants, the Spaniards in the 14th century, discovered those islands, and they found what they called white Indians, these so-called savages, who were Caucasian, who were living a totally different kind of life, who spoke a language, because they spoke the same language as the Berbers do. To me, this, and again, they have the same genetic profile as the Basques and the Berbers. The Canary Islanders are also, obviously, now the interest, one of the really mysterious things about, there are seven different islands, and yet when they were discovered, they didn't even have boats.
They didn't have
boats.
These people didn't have boats,
and they didn't sail, and they didn't fish.
How'd they get there?
Yeah. How did they get there, and why didn't, all island cultures develop a merit, some level of
maritime. At some point, sure.
Well, they raised sheep, they ate mutton, and they had the early form of wheat. And they had, like I said, they mummified the dead using, the same technology the Egyptians developed. Now, early Egypt. So are we looking at, an Atlantis migration to North Africa, eventually to Egypt, that also went through the Mediterranean, the Aegean, and settled in Malta and Crete and so on, and built those civilizations that also remain mysterious to this day.
Did these civilizations, and let's say the visitors, where do you think they came from? Do any of these cultures talk about the possibility of where they might have been from?
You mean the gods?
Yes, the gods.
Well, the Sumerians did. You know, as Zachariah Sitchin has pointed out.
Sure. Do you believe that theory?
No.
Okay.
I don't think there's a planet that's going to come close to the Earth here. I think it's a misunderstanding. I don't. Well, they indicate the Mexican civilizations put a lot of emphasis on the Pleiades. The site, the Teotihuacan, is oriented and to the Pleiades and to the rising of certain stars and so on. It's hard to identify that, I think.
That should be nice if you could stumble across that, huh?
Well, it's sort of like, who was Quetzalcoatl? Who was the feathered serpent god?
Or Lord Pakal.
Right, exactly. Who is that, really? Well, he's associated with Venus. Now, the interesting thing about the Aztec history is, and like you were saying earlier, the Mayan calendar, it's focused on Venus. Now, what I discovered in the last year, 2 years ago, really, was that this whole thing about Venus really revolves around the transit of Venus. And when I went back and studied the transits of Venus, I realized that it has a negative effect. And I was able to predict using the Maya system, the Maya calendar system, that we're going to get in an accelerated period of catastrophes, of natural disasters, because there's some kind of interaction between Venus and the Earth and the Sun when these transits happen. And it'll happen again in 2012.
All right, let's go take some phone calls. They're starting to line up for you, Will. East of the Rockies, welcome to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Yes, sir. This is Tim from Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Hi, Tim. Welcome to the show.
Great program. I do have a question in regards to the mirrors that you were discussing earlier. Do you think it's possible that they use the mirrors to project energy or themselves or materials off the ionosphere to other regions of the planet, like the Northern Lights would be? You can see the Northern Light.
It's possible. You know, it's possible. I what you first said, I agree with entirely, that they used it to project energy. Just exactly how they did and what they did, I'm not sure.
Like a laser pointer or whatever.
Exactly.
Okay.
And they could have used it to magnify solar energy.
Okay. I appreciate it, gentlemen. Great program.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks. Appreciate you being part of the program as well. These visitors, it's your theory, you're convinced that the gods traveled to other places as well?
Well, just like what we have, handed down in the Bible, which is probably the strongest evidence we have in the West.
I mean, do you think they were fallen angels? Interpretation
to me, Jehovah is one of them. I mean, whoever came down, whoever Ezekiel saw in that craft and described, I think, very well, was a human-like creature. I mean, he said it, and also when Moses is out and when the craft is flying overhead and leading them around, I mean, what else is it but a craft? It's they call it a pillar of light because they didn't know what machinery was. What else would you call it if you're a primitive shepherd and something's flying overhead? Also, what people don't know is the Aztecs told the Spanish historians after the conquest that they had been plagued by these pillars of light and shields flying over the capital city, giving them warnings of what was going to happen a year before the conquest.
Good point. These things
happen, and we've been getting a lot. Mexico's, you see, I'm right on the, I actually live in Mexico now. But these things happen periodically and then intensify. Mexico has a tremendous number of sightings down.
All right, let's go to our first-time caller line. Your turn. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is Ben from Phoenix.
Hey, Ben. Welcome.
First off, I want to tell you I love your show. I'm a security officer. I work at midnights here in Phoenix, and we listen to you every night.
Well, thank you so much.
And I'm originally from St. Louis. Used to listen to Jim White all the time on Camel X.
Yeah.
But one of the things I was thinking about, Will, is the fact that you were talking about the thousands of pyramids that they haven't discovered yet because the jungle had reclaimed it. Now, I was thinking maybe there's a possibility that when they built these pyramids, that they actually had come to Earth and were tapping on a source that we had, a power source, that they finally, the pyramids were used, like you said, to beam this up, maybe to get rid of all that power source. And now that it's all gone, maybe that's why we're living longer, and maybe that's why they're not coming back.
It's an interesting theory.
Maybe they needed us.
Maybe they just don't need us anymore.
Or maybe, you know, and they could come back, on the other hand, shortly.
Do you think that's possible, Will, a visitation here?
Well, I think we're primed now to the point, I mean, we've developed a civilization on our own. This is our civilization now. This is not the pyramid civilization.
Oh, yeah, for good or bad, it is
ours. Good or bad. Yep. For good or bad. So how that's assessed, we could probably handle it. We could probably handle it.
East of the Rockies, it's your turn. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, this is Monica calling from Seattle.
Hi, Monica. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I have an idea about the pyramid. Since the pyramid is an upward-facing triangle, which would be male electric energy, could it be that there's other pyramids around the Earth or some other dimension that would interlock with the pyramids that we have on Earth that would be a downward or female magnetic energy that in the same way when males and females unite in a sacred union, that the pyramids could just be an example of that on the Earth.
Now, that's an interesting theory, Will.
That makes sense. I mean, I guess what you're saying is that would kind of be projected downward, right?
Mm-hmm.
The pyramid is projecting upward.
Inverted pyramid.
Right.
Like from above as below or something like that, however that goes.
Yeah, that makes sense. And the pyramid functions on a lot of levels. I mean, the pyramids were calendars and, you know, their alignments, they're geometrical. They also embody different minerals. So there's a lot going in that structure.
You know, on one hand, to think of them as gods, I can understand how early civilizations would think of that. On the other hand, you really want deep down inside to believe that a god or gods did come to this planet. And so it's a double-edged sword here,
yeah.
Will.
Well, it's in a way, it's awesome because, and it's also humbling in a way that, perhaps, especially it seems that our scientists don't like the idea because we have this bootstrap idea that human beings have created everything now. You know, and our ancestors did not believe that. This is a very recent thing. Our ancestors, the histories, the oral traditions are clear around the world. I've studied them intensively, and they all say that civilization was handed to them. It was a gift.
Well, that's beginning to become the case here. West of the Rockies, your turn on Coast to Coast.
Thank you. Hi.
Hi.
I want to interject quickly before I get to the main point that the harmonics that's supposedly amplified by the pyramid is the same resonance as the planet. But I had read a Casey book speaking about Atlantis and what had happened. It's called The River of Time. And he says that they used crystals to harness light waves or light energy to propel vehicles through the air and on the earth and through the water, and also said that there was a problem with the frequencies that they had tuned the crystals to power the craft with, and that caused a great disturbance with the magnetic field or something around the earth.
That could be.
And I'm wondering if possibly there's regulation with the pyramids for, you know, the electromagnetic field around the earth. Thank you for letting me speak.
Okay. What do you think of that, Will?
Well, the field that we know exists, the Schumann resonance, is 7.8 cycles per second. And that's the human brain wave is tuned to that. That's the alpha brain wave is tuned to that frequency. I would assume that the pyramids could be attuned to that, or they could be attuned a little lower.
God, there's just so much we don't know. It's so frustrating that science doesn't jump on this well and run with it.
Well, it is. I've tried to convince through some predictions, which I can document, that I made about accelerating Earth changes and so on. But it may take more years, because what we need really is a Manhattan Project type approach to it.
Absolutely.
We need an intense with our top technology, supercomputers, specialists in all fields to tackle this thing.
What would this do for the advancement of a nation if they were the first ones to unravel this technology?
Boy, it would be even difficult to estimate.
They could be light years ahead of everybody.
Absolutely. But you see how there are forces that are blocking us. I mean, it's even hard to tell whether there's external forces that are, that are just preventing us from getting it, because we're not ready, that we'd actually make things worse at this point.
Or maybe they want to keep their thumbs on us. They don't want us to advance.
Yeah, you can make that case. And then whether it's benevolent for our own good or not, because just human nature, the way we are, we seem to want to turn everything into a weapon, or, some small group is going to use it for their own gain, and, the masses get cut out of it. So, we're our own worst enemy, usually.
What's your main website, Will?
My website is www.atlantisrises.com. I can also get to it at www.genesisrace.com.
This book, Atlantis Rises, is it out on the stores now? Because we talked about this some time ago.
It's not.
Available all through the websites?
It's available through the website.
All right. Can people email you as well?
Absolutely. And I answer all email at Hartman82001@yahoo.com.
And spell the Hartman portion?
Hartman
2001.
82001. Yeah, sorry.
Okay.
At yahoo.com, or CWILLWRITE1@hotmail.com.
Okay. Very good.
Either one of those, be happy to. And I really enjoy our conversations. Your interview questions are excellent.
Well, stay with us, Will. We're going to have a final hour of phone calls for you right here on Coast to Coast. But get ready for this, Will. I'm going to ask you about the Mayan calendar 2012.